those children awesome? I just love watching them, just listening to them. Good morning. As Marcus would say, good morning, church. Our pastor is in New Mexico and Marcus is in Dinosaur. And the pastor's got to come home and shovel snow. But it's going to be taken care of. It's been a while since I've been up here. I'm a little bit nervous, so bear with me. Did you know that this is the 349th day of 2019? It's also the 50th Sunday of 2019. It's the 84th day of fall, and believe it or not, we've got six more days before winter. Do you believe that? Official day of winter is 6 days away. It's also the third Sunday of Advent. Do you all know what Advent means? I don't see anybody shaking their head. Some do. Do Baptists celebrate Advent? Some of us do. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means arrival, the arrival of our Lord. Advent is the liturgical period preceding Christmas, beginning in Western churches, the fourth Sunday before Christmas. And in European churches, it begins in mid-November and is observed as a season of prayer, fasting, and repentance. Advent is the period we look at as the month preceding the incarnation of God in the form of a person called Jesus Christ. And in our text today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1 and other verses. I want to look at the four characters in the Christmas narrative of what their voices say to us. It uses the acrostic H-O-P-E, hope, to illustrate that in the end, all the voices that we're going to look at proclaim hope to a lost and dying world. The world today is doing all it can, folks, to sanitize and sterilize the Christmas season to the point where there'll be no vintage of Christianity left in what is decidedly a Christian holiday. In every sense of the phrase, the world wants to take the Christ out of Christmas. In doing so, many miss the fact that Jesus is the hope of Christmas. Because without Christ, there simply is no Christmas. The message of Christmas is hope. Hope for a world in darkness. Zacchaeus, the father of John the Baptist, prophesied about his son before he was born. If you look on the screen in Luke 1, 76 through 79, it says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give to His people the knowledge of salvation. By the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the ways of peace." And then in our text today, in Luke 1, verses, I'm going to start in 25 instead of what it says 30 in your bulletin. But I'm going to start in 25 and read through 38. "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when He looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men, Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept on pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, Father, with our minds and our hearts open to your word. Father, as we celebrate this season of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Father, as we continue this morning, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that if there's any here that doesn't have a relationship with you, Lord, that they will commit themselves to that relationship, Lord, because you are the only hope of this world. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In your bulletin, it says the first voice of Christmas that I want to look at is heaven. The first voice of Christmas is heaven. Think about that. Here's the angel Gabriel, a messenger from God, who visits her with a most amazing message. And that message is the hope of the world. And it's first announced through the voice of heaven by the angel. Gabriel tells Mary that she is to name the child Jesus, a Greek form of the name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Matthew 1, 20 and 21 says, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin.'" The first voice of heaven today truly announces the hope of Christmas that we look for every year. Hope is a great encourager, folks, in our day-to-day lives. It gives us the ability to understand that our life has a future purpose. How many of you don't hope for something tomorrow or the next day or next week? If you don't, there's something wrong with you, because I do all the time. I hope tomorrow's a better day than I had yesterday or today. Sometimes in life we simply need a new perspective of things or a gentle reminder that there's hope for better days ahead. And Jesus is the reason for that hope, folks. God gave everyone on Christmas Day the hope that he would provide a way to be with him. Isaiah 7:14 states it this way, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she'll call His name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us, folks. God Himself was going to step into the world to provide the payment for the hopelessness of mankind. The birth of Jesus brought hope into the darkness. The second voice of Christmas is obedience. I'm going to read verse 38 again. I want you to listen to this because it's very important. "And Mary said, Behold the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." This is one of those verses in God's Word, folks, that we really need to give consideration to understand what's going on. Here's a young woman. Some say she was about 15, 16, maybe even younger, betrothed to be married, and she receives a visit from an angel. Now, I don't know about you, but if an angel popped into my house, it would kind of startle me a little bit. He visits her and he tells her that she's going to be with child when she's not married. And she responds by saying what? "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord." Now some of your verses, some of your translations may say, "I am the Lord's servant." Means the same thing. Mary understood how God looked at things, folks. She knew Him personally, and she sought to honor Him in all things by being obedient. By being obedient. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "To obey is better than sacrifice." Notice she didn't tell the Lord, "Wait a minute, I got to get married before I can have a baby. Because I don't want to humiliate my husband, my family. I got to get married first." She didn't mention what she was supposed to say to Joseph. She simply trusted the angel and obeyed God. In Acts 20, verse 35, Jesus tells us it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now you might be wondering why I put that in there. In this case, there's something we can give as we celebrate the hope of Christmas. We can give the Lord our gift of obedience, folks. John 14:15, Jesus tells us, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." That's the second voice of Christmas. The third voice of Christmas is praise. I don't know about you, but I love to praise the Lord. As most of you know that are members, I'm the oldest living relative in my family. The nearest relative that lived in my family was 20 years younger than me when he passed. I'm blessed every day, and I praise God every day that my eyes open up in the morning. In Luke 2:28-29, Simeon, the father of John, Simeon was a priest in the temple, and he took Jesus in his arms and he praised God, saying, he said, "Now, Lord, thou dost let this bond servant depart in peace, according to your word." Having found the salvation of Israel, Simeon praised God and was prepared to leave this earth. And in the case of all who eagerly seek the one who offers salvation, Simeon found him. Jeremiah 29:13-14 says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." and I'll be found by you, declares the Lord. Simeon sought the Messiah of Israel for many, many years. And I don't know if you know your history about Israel. Simeon became a priest in the temple 37 years before the birth of Christ. So he was looking for the Messiah for 37 years. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Simeon knew by faith that God was going to send a Messiah, and he diligently sought him and was rewarded in his old age. In his old age, he beheld the hope of Israel. Simeon had a reason to praise God, folks. We have a reason to praise God. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. If you truly seek the Lord, he said he will come to you. The poet Waldo Emerson said, "All I have seen teaches me to trust, to have faith in the Creator for all the things I haven't seen." We've seen the voices of heaven, obedience, and praise. And the fourth point, the voice of Christmas is evangelism. Luke 2:38. On the screen, please. Says, "At that very moment, she, Mary, came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak to him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel." Here's a simple reaction of one who truly encountered the hope of the world. She had to tell somebody. She had to tell somebody. When a person has had a true encounter with Jesus, they're going to have to come to a place of needing to tell somebody. I remember the day I accepted Christ in my life. I couldn't wait to call my uncle back in South Dakota to tell him, because he'd been praying for me for 20 years that I would become a Christian and not stay a heathen. And he cried like a baby on the phone. You know what he told me? He said, "I've been praying for your family for 20 years, and you were on the bottom of the list, but you're number one, ahead of all the rest of my family." Luke 38:39 again. "But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him, but he sent him away saying," he's talking about Jesus, sent the man away, "return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. That's the man possessed with demons in the Gadarene. Jesus cast out the demons. And the man wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus said, "No, go tell." That's what he tells us. Go tell. You don't have to be a big biblical scholar to go tell people about Jesus. All you got to do is tell them what he's done in your life. That's all you got to do. He'll take care of the rest. But we're supposed to go tell. This man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with Jesus. But he said no. Go back to your family. Go back to your friends. Go back to your neighbors. And tell them all the wonderful things God has done for you. And the Bible says he went back telling everybody in the village what Jesus had done for him. And just like Simeon, Anna had been waiting many years for the advent of the Messiah in the temple, and now here before her eyes was the Lord. Both Simeon and Anna had seen the brutality of the Romans and Herod the Great. They had watched the temple worship become diluted by the religious lukewarmness and the self-righteousness of those who had prostrated themselves to the Roman Empire. And now she was looking at the one whose coming had been foretold. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government on the throne of David and over his kingdom." The redemption of Israel had come, and she was going to tell all who were looking for it. The unrighteous, godless government was going to be replaced with the government of the Messiah. And to those who knew Him, who had experienced Him, as He still calls today. Isaiah 6:8, most of you know what that says. God says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I replied, at the age of 41, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And He said, "Go and tell the people." And I did it for 30 years and still do. He's still the hope of the nations. We know because of the voice of Christmas, heaven, obedience, praise, and evangelism. We're going to stand in a few minutes and sing our song of invitation. I have a question for you. Today, where is your hope? Where is your hope? Do you trust Jesus? The true meaning of Christmas, the hope of Christmas, the hope of the world, to provide your way to eternal life with God? Are you resting in Him for your salvation and your rescue from the sin of the world? As a follower of Christ, are you placing your trust and hope in Jesus? Are you experiencing true hope in the only Son of God during the hard times of life? Today, as we stand and sing our song, you can begin to experience the true meaning of Christmas by placing your hope in Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we come to this time in our life, as we come to this time in our service, Lord, Father, we just pray that, Father, it was a blessing to those that have heard Your word. Father, and that as we stand and sing our invitation, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know You or doesn't know how to experience You in their life, Lord, there's a number of us here who can share with them and tell them how to accept You into their heart and lives. And Father, if there's one here that needs a church home to worship with, we'd welcome them with open arms to be a part of this body of Christ, Father. Lord God, just be with us now as we stand and sing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand with us if you would, please.
Oh.